You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part two with Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee. Coming up today, we're going to talk a little bit about what the 49ers could be looking at in round two of the draft. Of course, all conversations are circular. Come back to quarterback. If you missed last week's episode with Chris, he talks about why Trey Lance might be the guy for him. So Trey Lance Pro Day, something we've got to talk a little bit about today. I don't know what we can take from it. I saw, I think, a grand total of one slow motion video, maybe another throw of him doing the roll left, throw back across his body a little bit deep down the field, you know, whatever. I don't know how much to take from it. We'll see what the Vegas odds do with Trey Lance in the number three pick. But we talk a little bit more with Chris today about the second round selection, where the 49ers' head might be at coming into this draft, why they made the trade up to number three, and the thought process there, and who Kyle Shanahan really likes at quarterback. And maybe that evaluation's not even done. This was the last sentence that needed to be written in the scouting reports with that Trey Lance pro day. And the retirement of Alex Smith is probably where we should start today before we get to that conversation with Chris. Oh, and I hope you liked the ultimate mock draft in the feed Monday. Not going to give any spoilers about who I picked for the 49ers, but go check out the ultimate mock draft that's on all of your favorite podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this, you can find the feed for the ultimate mock draft 2021. 70 plus experts, hosts, media folks weighing in. We've got Hall of Famers, former players. It's just awesome what we've got going this year for the Ultimate Mock Draft, hosted by me and my Peacock and Williamson host, Matt Williamson. Episode 1 and 2 are in there. You can find out who I have the 49ers selecting at number 3. And go check out the rest of the first round and beyond. Every team's first pick, whether they have a first pick or not, in this Ultimate Mock Draft. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me and get some questions in, and we'll get back to the mailbag tomorrow with Nick on another Winky Wednesday. Alex Smith calling it quits after 16 seasons in the NFL and one miraculous comeback in 2020. Nothing left to prove. I mean, he left it all out on the field. Got to commend Alex Smith for the kind of person, the character he had throughout his career, and it was tough. Wasn't just tough coming back from that injury late in his career. It was tough from the start. He was a young kid when he came into the league with the 49ers, drafted number one overall. Reminisced a little bit with Matt Williamson on the Peacock and Williamson show Monday about what that was like in 2005 with Aaron Rodgers versus Alex Smith and who should be the pick, and then seeing Rodgers fall all the way to pick 24, becoming a Hall of Fame caliber guy. And Alex Smith took a while to develop. And then he finally did. And he was leading a playoff team with the 49ers. Then Kaepernick shows up. Then Alex Smith gets hurt. And then he ends up in Kansas City. And then they draft a top 10 quarterback who becomes the current best quarterback in the NFL, and he helps mentor him. And just an amazing run for Alex Smith and what he did in his career. And it never quite got to where it should have, I think, for what kind of player he could have been, and never got that really prolonged opportunity to be a starting quarterback, even though he was in the league for 16 seasons and was a starter for a lot of it. Really a wild career for Alex Smith. 49ers CEO Jed York, chiming in on behalf of the San Francisco 49ers organization, said he would like to congratulate Alex Smith on a remarkable and inspirational NFL playing career. For 8 years, Alex represented our franchise with class, both on and off the field, and his contributions to the 49ers organization will be remembered forever. That Saints game, man, that's the one I won't ever forget, seeing him run into the end zone. It was fantastic. And he could have got run out of town. You know, there was some internal fortitude there with Alex Smith. He absolutely could have got run out of town, and probably most quarterbacks wouldn't have still been around and continued to get better to the point where he was the starting quarterback for a new regime and a new head coach and GM like he was. Like, that's a rarity for a player who looked pretty pretty much like a bust to start his career, right? And how tough things were in a tough organization for Alex Smith. And I don't know how much better Aaron Rodgers would have been if he was thrust into a starting role in 2005 with what kind of shape the 49ers were in at that time. It's important. That's what bodes well for the 49ers in this draft with whoever they select. It's a much better place to be in than maybe the Jaguars and the Jets would be for a top quarterback, or even, I don't know, the Panthers, right? Or the Lions or whatever other team might be selecting a quarterback. Usually when you're drafting top three, you don't have a very good team. So that does bode well for the 49ers. And hopefully it turns out more like the Aaron Rodgers situation than the Alex Smith situation, as much as 49ers fans love Alex Smith. There's not many 49ers fans that'll say a bad word about Alex Smith. Frank Gore chimed in as well, saying congratulations and talking about, there's numerous players in the NFL talking about the inspiration that Alex Smith was. So I think for 49ers fans, they see Alex Smith's career through a different lens, but I think even 49ers fans, and I was asked this question, for sure fans around the rest of the league, he will be remembered for the comeback, and he should, because it was pretty amazing what he was able to do to come back from that injury and come back and play last year. And I think it's the right move. Go enjoy retirement. He's still only 36 years old. Andy Reid told him in a private text message that we get first dibs if you ever want to be a coach. Like, Alex Smith could become a head coach in the NFL. Absolutely. He's got that kind of drive. He's got that kind of smarts. And he's someone you would want to be in charge of your franchise. Go be a GM in the front office if you wanted to. I don't know if he still wants to be involved with football or not, but you know, if I'm Jed York, I'm also calling Alex Smith to see if he wants to be a part of an organization, because I think he's that type of guy. So congratulations, Alex Smith, on a 16-year career. I'm sure he'll be successful in whatever he does next. Real quick, and really there's not a lot to say about the pro day. I didn't get to see a lot of video of it. I don't think there is a lot of video of the Trey Lance Pro Day. Obviously, a lot of it was staged for exactly the 49ers. Dan Graziano laid it out there Monday, said he was told the 49ers are extremely involved in the Trey Lance workout scheduled for Monday. Lance, who works with quarterback coach Quincy Avery, spent the past couple weeks working with quarterback coach John Beck. Kyle Shanahan coached Beck in Washington a decade ago and trusts his opinion. Yeah, and it was reported that it was actually Shanahan's request that Lance would work out with John Beck. And John Beck absolutely is, I think, working for the 49ers secretly in all this, right? And he already has been coaching Zach Wilson, and he has been coaching Justin Fields through all this. And he was in charge of Justin Fields' pro day as well, the first pro day. And so a lot of stuff that the 49ers want to see were put into the second pro day for both Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And I think they have somebody on the inside in John Beck that can give them all the information that they are seeking in a year when they can't have a private workout. So it's really smart for the 49ers to be able to do that and inform their final decision on whoever it is that they decide they want to draft at number three. And to me, when I put it all together, it really feels like the Trey Lance was not the guy that was the one they traded up for, but they knew they had to do more work on him. And it just makes perfect sense. And he's the last one finally that they get to finish the report on. Has he done enough to maybe become the guy who is the number three pick in this draft? But when they said they felt comfortable with three guys, I think it was pretty obvious that it was Trevor Lawrence, probably Zach Wilson, and one more guy. I don't think that guy was Trey Lance. I'm sure they were intrigued by Trey Lance, wanted to finish the evaluation and go meet him in person and see him throw in person finally. But I just think it was too incomplete at the point where the 49ers made the trade that I don't think you could have made that trade going up for Trey Lance with the data you had at the time and one season of one AA tape to go by and some Zoom meetings. I mean, those would have to be some unbelievably phenomenal Zoom meetings. And, you know, I've already talked about how I don't feel like it was Mac Jones was that guy. Maybe Mac Jones was someone they were thinking about at 12. Maybe that's why his name got thrown out there. Maybe it was a smokescreen. Maybe Kyle Shanahan has his dad, Mike Shanahan, working for him, and his good buddy Chris Sims working for him, throwing that name out on back channels just to keep people off their scent. I don't know why they would be trying that hard to smokescreen, but Justin Fields just feels like the guy that Kyle Shanahan already knew, coached him when he was a teenager, had a comfortability level. There was two seasons worth of tape. The scouts had already gone through the process of looking at him, I'm sure, in 2019 with his full season and what he did that year, finishing third in the Heisman. And then you know, probably just seeing a full season of him again at Ohio State. I just feel like that was a fuller picture of the player, knowing the human being already for Kyle Shanahan. I feel like he was the one they were comfortable with at number three that they moved up for, and they went to go see the pro days of Mac Jones, do that evaluation, went to go see the pro day of Trey Lance as well, finish that evaluation, and then stack these guys up and see if either one of the other quarterbacks surpassed Justin Fields. And that'll be the big question. If the scenario I laid out there that I feel like is probably the most likely scenario, we'll see if they were able to jump Justin Fields. Or maybe it was the other way around and it was really Mac Jones the whole time, and we'll see if Justin Fields or Trey Lance could jump him for the number three pick. I don't think we know yet. I think people who say they know don't really know, and I think the 49ers are just now finally, after flying home from North Dakota State, from Fargo, finishing the board, finalizing it, and they'll have a name that they put up at the top of their draft board that they're ready to select in less than 10 days now. All right, let's finish up the conversation I had with Chris Biederman, talking about all kinds of things. Number two pick, the second round pick for the 49ers, and some more talk about, yes, the quarterback situation. And we have a little bit of fun finishing up with Chris Biederman of the Sack B next. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful this Mother's Day. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. Waiting to see at BetOnline if that Trey Lance number starts to get a little bit closer to Justin Fields, who already overtook Mac Jones as the betting favorite to be the selection for the 49ers at number three. Get that pro day bump. So smart bettors were getting their money in before the Justin Fields pro day and before the Trey Lance pro day. We'll see if that number moves as much for Lance as it did for Fields. That is, if you believe Mac Jones is not going to be the pick. If you believe he is, then you love this because that number's getting better for you. But that's not the only draft prop they have at betonline.ag. Which player at which position goes first? Tons of draft props at BetOnline. Make that draft day a little bit more fun and maybe make yourself a little bit of money if you think you've got an edge on what people are expecting will happen throughout the NFL draft. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. BetOnline even covers awards and TV shows and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine to go along with table games and poker as well. And it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website. You can use your mobile device too. Sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON. Receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Chris Biederman, 49ers beat writer for the Sacramento Bee, joining me here. Part two of this conversation. Go back to Friday's show last week if you want to hear his reasoning for why he thinks it might be Trey Lance, the pick for the 49ers at number three. I got to ask you one non-third overall pick quarterback question here. If you could pick one prospect that you would put money on that the 49ers are going to draft after round one, it could be any round, any position. Is there any one prospect that you think, okay, this is a future 49er?
Man, so I think they're going to take a cornerback in round two. I feel pretty confident about that. I don't have a ton of confidence in any of these prospects in terms of like what the 49ers are looking for at cornerback, because we haven't gotten to talk with D'Amico Ryans yet.
Yeah.
And so I would love to pick his brain about what exactly they're looking for. I think Elijah Molden from Washington makes a lot of sense. Right. Somebody who could potentially play outside in the slot, maybe at safety. If you ever, you know, if Jimmy Ward or Jaquaski Tartt were to get hurt, which has happened a lot in both their careers. I think Asante Samuel Jr. makes a lot of sense. Kid from Florida State, obviously his dad's pedigree, you know, great player for a long time, championship player. And you look at the way, you know, Jason Verrett, not a big guy, about 5'10", right? Emmanuel Mosley, I think 5'10 or 5'11". Not a big guy. I don't think the 49ers really prioritize that 6'2", 33-inch arm corner anymore, or 32-inch arm corner anymore. I think it's mostly about man-to-man coverage skills and toughness and things like that. So I think Samuel would make a lot of sense as somebody that could give you versatility, could potentially play inside if Kaywan Williams were to bounce in free agency in 2022. So I'll lean that direction. I know it's kind of a cop-out to give you two guys, but I would go with Asante Samuel Jr. and Molden from Washington. And I still got to do work on the Georgia guys. And, you know, Kelvin Joseph is somebody who's really interesting. I've been told that he's a first-round talent for sure, just physically and the way he plays the game. But there are a lot of questions about his wiring and, you know, there was – coaches saying that he needs to grow up and things like that. So you do wonder if there's a little bit of Rashard Robinson in him.
Oh yeah.
As you remember, a very talented guy who was just a knucklehead to the point where he didn't have a successful career. So, but you know, you establish a strong locker room culture to maybe absorb personalities like that. So we'll have to see, but I think cornerback in round two, I feel pretty comfortable saying that that's the area they're going
to
go.
Yeah, I feel that's the way they almost have to go, especially with the move they've made in the first round too, because that was obviously we'd be arguing about Patrick Surtain versus J.C. Horn right now, right?
Yeah,
if they didn't make this trade. And but here's the other thing. How about this? If we're going conspiracy theory, the 49ers made the trade up to get a quarterback after Caleb Farley's recent injury and realizing that maybe he drops. So maybe it's a double trade up action. They're going to go back up to get a falling Caleb Farley. And because, you know, for some reason they don't care if guys are injured, and then they're surprised that guys are injured again at the NFL level.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've had that thought and talked about it with people. He is a super talented player. Probably if you're just going to go on pure talent and physical skills, probably the best corner in the draft. But I don't know, man, coming off the season that they just came off of with all of the injuries and hearing them say at the end of the season, we might have to reevaluate how we look at players with injury issues in their past. I have a hard time going there, but at the same time, if the back surgery for Farley was not super serious and the people, you know, the medical people in the Niners building said, oh yeah, he'll be fine. He can recover. He can make a full recovery for week one. And he happens to be there. Like, it might be the talent is just too much to pass on if he is there in round two. I don't think that would be crazy, but it would be a substantial risk. It's a fascinating idea. If he's on the board when they pick and they don't take him, I think it'll be very fair to ask them why not. I think I know the reason why, but sometimes you just need to hear them say it. But yeah, I think Farley's an interesting thought. He's going to be a fascinating guy, particularly if he's available in round two.
Yeah, I don't think he'll actually get out of round one, and I don't think the 49ers will go that route. I think health is going to have to be a big factor for them. I think they learned a lesson there. But they haven't learned a lesson from their failed trade ups in the past. They continue to do it. So I don't know, man. These guys are aggressive, and the cojones on these guys, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, it's amazing. It makes for a lot of fun though for us. So this is fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it's a great time for content. Really, yeah, really good time for content. I gotta figure out how to not keep writing the same thing over and over again. But you know, it's a challenge that we'll have over the next couple weeks. But exciting times. It's crazy that we're here. You think about it like, man, the 49ers have done a lot of things in their history as a team. And this is like, I think, unquestionably the biggest trade they've ever made.
Oh, and undoubtedly. Then this is as big as like Montana Steve Young stuff. This is crazy. This is even bigger than Rodgers and Alex Smith at number one, because they didn't trade up to number one. They just had the pick. It would be different if the 49ers just earned the third pick and you have to take somebody.
Right.
You'd be talking about who it is. They traded three first round picks to get up. Teams don't do that.
Yeah. And you have to wonder, is any of this possible if they don't re-sign Trent Williams? And does that make the Trent Williams signing like one of the most important in franchise history? Because it might be.
Yeah.
You know, because like if they don't have a left tackle, they might not be in this position to be able to trade that pick at 12. So yeah, it's a wild, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said it, like free agency to a point went way better than we expected. And I think that that allowed us to make this trade. So I think just going back, it's, you know, if it all works, if whoever they draft ends up winning Super Bowls, we'll look at this offseason and be like, man, that was ballsy and it worked. But on the other hand, if they take a quarterback and he's not a Super Bowl type guy, then it's going to be like, all right, at some point, are the 49ers going to be in the market for a head coach again? because that's not going to be something that's going to be easy to come back from.
If the quarterback pick doesn't work, then when the 49ers do have a first round pick again in 2024, it's going to be somebody else making it, period.
Yeah.
They can't survive this. That's where the balls come in. And they didn't even complete the evaluations. What if the guy they like breaks his leg? Like, what if it's Trey Lance all along? He breaks his leg at his pro day.
Yeah.
That's why you wait until you're on the clock.
I do think the physicality and toughness and all that stuff favors Trey Lance in terms of like injury durability and stuff. Not that, you know, Justin Fields obviously played through a lot of stuff too, but.
And actually, yeah,
I think Justin Fields was
1 pound heavier too when they weighed in. That surprised me a little.
Yeah.
Bit. He's an inch shorter and a pound heavier.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think Lance's frame, because he's a year younger, right?
Yeah.
That's another part of it. He's a year younger. So you have to think, just looking at Trey Lance, I think he's probably going to add 15, 20 pounds of muscle.
It's
when he's in his mid 20s, he's going to be like 6'4" and a good 240.
It's annoying how young these guys are. And depending on who goes first between Trey Lance and Penei Sewell, it'll be the first NFL player ever drafted that was born in the year 2000.
Oh man. Yeah. Tell me about it. There was a point, it was what, 3 or 4 years ago. Like I'm older than Richard Sherman, and like
and he seems like he's 45 years old, and he's like what, 32?
He does, and you talk about, well, is Richard Sherman at this point in his career where he should hang it up, and has he lost a step? And it's like, wait a sec, I'm older than this guy. Like that wasn't the case. I think I was 26 when I first started covering the team, so it was a lot of guys my age. And then just over these last few years, it's been like, okay, I'm older than all these guys now. This is humbling.
I wonder what that's like psychologically for players to be like, oh, you're 29. You're pretty close to being washed up, dude. You might need to think about doing something else.
Right, right. Meanwhile, I'm here hurting myself playing golf.
Yeah, I was barely figuring out anything in my life when I was in my late 20s. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. And it's even more wild thinking about like, well, the Niners, a multi-billion-dollar organization, are hinging their future on a 20 or 21-year-old guy, or 22-year-old guy in the case of Justin Fields.
Yeah, and then sometime when they talk about character concerns and how someone's going to handle all this, I can't imagine, I can't think of a single friend that would have done well that became a multimillionaire in their early 20s.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have some very successful friends. I don't know if any of them are millionaires yet, but I know they've enjoyed themselves in certain ways, you know, after getting some money, which is fine, which everybody's entitled to. But yeah, I agree with your point in that it's risky to give somebody that young all that money and power.
You know what? Speaking of character, and I'm blown away by the Deshaun Watson storyline. Do you think the 49ers mm-hmm. were gearing up to spend a whole bunch on Deshaun Watson and realize, well, we've got all these picks we decided we're willing to trade? Do you think that was a part of this big move?
Yeah, I think so, because I think, you know, I don't know this for sure, but I think it's about the package it would have taken to get Watson, right? Three firsts and then maybe something else. Mm-hmm. An additional second or two in addition to the third, like just because it's an established star. But yeah, I think so. I think it would have made all the sense in the world. I don't know necessarily that Watson is the smoothest fit in terms of like the type of offense the 49ers run. But I think Kyle Shanahan would have been more than willing to make it work. And I think it would have been, I think the Niners would have been the betting favorites in the NFC had they made that trade. And I don't think it would have been particularly controversial, right? Like, you look at just the talent on the roster, inserting Deshaun Watson into that. I think the Niners were definitely in that mix because, you know, they called on Matt Stafford. They called on Sam Darnold. I think they had their ears and eyes wide open. It sounds like they might have been late on Stafford, and I don't think they would offer two firsts and potentially Jimmy Garoppolo for Stafford. I think the Rams were sort of alone in what they gave, what they were willing to part with Detroit. But when it comes to Watson, yeah, I think they would have been in. But obviously you can't trade for Deshaun Watson right now.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. So not. I don't know if that guy's ever going to play again. That's everything that comes out about that story just blows my mind.
Yeah. It's that's not a great scene. Really, really disturbing stuff, but you know, we'll see how all that plays out.
Does Kyle Shanahan though even want to coach a quarterback, or does he want somebody that's already ready to go? More with Chris Biederman coming up. You trying to get in shape? You trying to get that post-pandemic summer bod back? Nutrition's a big part of it. Find something full of protein that's low in sugar instead of a sugary snack that is going to derail your diet. I'm talking about Built Bar. You can also save 15% by using promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. All the old flavors, fantastic ones, some new flavors. You see a lot of them in that Built Bar bracket during March Madness. Low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, even good for a keto diet. Feel good about yourself. Have a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Great for the health conscious folks out there that can help your diet lose, maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Go to BuiltBar.com, find your favorite flavors, even build your own box of Built Bars. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. A big reason to repair and maintain your vehicle is to save money. And because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Just go head over to RockAuto.com. The website is super easy to use. Find whatever you need for any, and I mean any, make or model of car or truck. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers for 20 years online. They have everything you need. Tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, small parts, big parts, aftermarket kits, whatever you need to get your car looking and performing its best. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks and get it delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. One more quick thing for you, Chris. I didn't mean to take you this long. I hope.
No problem.
Out on anything. It'll be a two-parter with Chris Biederman at Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee, Candlestick Chronicles. Haven't re-introed you in 45 minutes. It's bad radio hosting on my part, which is why I love podcasting, because there's no rules.
Yeah.
So the Watson thing, it just reminded me of the evaluations and what players can become. And we saw what sort of a wild stallion of a prospect in Josh Allen became in the NFL and what you can tame out of a guy. And you mentioned earlier about Justin Fields and the Ohio State offense. Like, Ohio State, they don't care about, they're not trying to develop an NFL player. They're trying to win college football games, right? And so I think that can be a part of it. And you see an athletic player who their whole life is the best athlete on the field and continuing to be in college, why would they dump a 3-yard pass off in 2.5 seconds to a slow tight end when they could just be the guy and carry the ball themselves? So I think there, it takes a step longer and a little bit longer for some players to develop. And as long as you get the right guy from the neck up, then those things can come. So that's just one of the things when I think of Justin Fields is the guy, and Kyle Shanahan's been around him. If he trusts the person and he liked him when he was 17, and John Beck has good things to say about him, and the work ethic is there, I'm not worried about the Ohio State quarterback curse. And I know you went to Ohio State, by the way. which I didn't even think about. I didn't put that together. You are not predicting the Ohio State guy to be the pick for the 49ers and not even campaigning for that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I watched all of their games the last 2 years, and it was just something, and I know this might not necessarily be fair, or particularly when you're talking about trying to project Justin Fields to the next level, but just when I think of Kyle Shanahan's offense, I think about the decisiveness, right? Like hitting the top of your drop and getting the ball out and all of the quick throws and all of the rhythm passing, the play action under center stuff, the boot action. And what so much of the offense was at Ohio State is, all right, it's shotgun. A lot of times I'm not even calling signals. I'm just clapping, you know, and you'll snap the ball to me on the second clap. Right. And I'm not, you know, maybe the center is more in charge of the protections. And then I'm kind of standing back there, utilizing my athleticism to potentially avoid the pass rush while my guys get open deep downfield. And a lot of times it worked, and sometimes it didn't. And there was, you know, the Indiana game, which was pretty ugly. There was the Northwestern game, which was pretty ugly. And so for me, it's just, I think about Kyle Shanahan's specificity when he's looking at these guys. And to me, just thinking about the CJ Beathard stuff and what he liked about Beathard, who's obviously a completely different case. I hate to keep making that comparison because Beathard is more like Kirk Cousins, but just the process of evaluating a guy that played in a run heavy pro style offense under center sticks with me. And so that's why I think about Trey Lance as a better fit potentially for Kyle Shanahan. But the unknown is, like, Shanahan could have so much belief in Justin Fields that he can overcome that part of it, right? Like, he might be, you know, like, I think about the receiver conversation last year, right? Like, I don't know where you were on this, but I was like, oh, it's Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, no doubt. Right? Like, I was all about Jerry Jeudy. I thought he was the best receiver in the class. And I was like, this is exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants. This guy gets open in a heartbeat.
Exactly. And it was like, well, you know, if it's Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, like, Kyle Shanahan always goes like pure route running, right? It's just like route running, all that. And it was like, no, CeeDee Lamb was his favorite guy, even though all the evidence and what we thought we knew about Kyle Shanahan said Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb was his favorite guy ahead of Brandon Ayuk. And then you wonder, all right, if Kyle Shanahan only wants a guy under center, or who wants to project a guy who is under center like Trey Lance, maybe the same line of thinking applies to Justin Fields as like the CeeDee Lamb thing. Like, well, yeah, maybe that guy's a better fit schematically based on what he did in college, but I just have more belief in this guy. Right. And maybe he does. Maybe all the things with Justin Fields, maybe that's why he ends up going with Justin Fields, because, well, screw all the scheme stuff, I just believe in this guy more. And that's very much a possibility. And that's what makes this so fascinating. Like, you know, I think just the overall discourse, it's like saying, I think it's Trey Lance. People get mad. Like, Justin Fields is better at everything. It's like, yeah, he might be, you know, but like, I'm not a scout or, you know, I try to be as honest as I can with people, and I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. And I just try to educate myself by watching the stuff myself, talking to as many people as I can, and connecting all the dots from everything I think I know about Kyle Shanahan, having covered him every day for the last 4 years. But so that's why it's interesting, right? Because even though we have our perceptions about Kyle Shanahan, whether it's he only wants a Kirk Cousins, or whether it's he only wants a guy who played under center like CJ Beathard, or whether it's he only wants a route running receiver like Jerry Jeudy, there is that element of, well, he just might like this guy personally, from a standpoint of he believes in that guy more than and that overcomes the other factors that we're talking about. So it's never, you know, people always like, well, the accuracy numbers say this. Like, I promise you, Kyle Shanahan is not making this pick based on Pro Football Focus's accuracy metrics.
Oh, not at all. Right? He's not looking at it. He's looking at straight up the films. Like, I like that guy. Hey, John, go give me that guy.
Right.
And
exactly.
It probably takes Kyle Shanahan 30 minutes, I'd say, to fall in love with the prospect, right? Like, not very long. Yeah. Like, we're going over this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And actually, I've been talking about it longer than they probably scouted these guys. Like, once Kyle Shanahan jumped into the equation, right? It doesn't take him long at all. He's like, that's the guy I like. Give me that guy.
I had that moment. So they made the trade on Friday. And then the first thing in my head was like, well, who do they want? Because they clearly they've identified somebody. And I hadn't watched Trey Lance at all. And I planned to, but I just hadn't watched him at all. And then I had watched Justin Fields. I knew. And it was like, I don't know if he's really a Kyle Shanahan type guy. So I watched all that and I was like, well, I could see it. You know, he's an elite prospect. But if you're a good coach and you can make an elite prospect work. And then watching Trey Lance, and it was like, oh, like those throws on the run, right? Yeah. You've seen him like towards the bootleg action where he just throws a missile to the sideline and the ball just doesn't get above 7 feet the whole time and just hits the receiver right in the hands. And it was like, oh, okay. So this guy does the Kyle Shanahan type stuff already, and he has these crazy physical gifts and this arm, and it's like all those things. And it's like, okay, so maybe it's the super high upside guy that's already sort of doing that kind of stuff. And so that's how it clicked for me, was like, all right, the CJ Beathard thing, playing in a pro style offense, the upside, and you hear everybody talk about Trey Lance's upside. And then you think, well, Kyle Shanahan probably doesn't care a whole lot about the stats and the sample size. I mean, he might potentially, but I could see Kyle Shanahan being like, I can work with that guy. I can work with any quarterback. That's the guy. And that's not to say it's not going to be Fields, but that's how it clicked for me, was just watching him do that Kyle Shanahan offense stuff at North Dakota State.
You brought up Jerry Jeudy. That's the other thing that also cements the non-Mac Jones angle is Alabama. They hate Alabama, right? Like if you're coached by Nick Saban said they didn't even ask him about him at the pro day. I did see a video clip. They talked to each other. So I know Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch talked to Nick Saban, but he said they didn't even ask him about him. Like, I guess if you don't believe a guy, you're not going to try to get a character evaluation on a player, right? If you don't trust him. But it was curious that after the draft last year, they mentioned CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk, obviously, who they drafted. There was no mention of either of the Alabama wide receivers, like none. And so there might be something to that.
Yeah. And, you know, the Reuben Foster thing, I don't think they hold any ill will towards like Nick Saban over the Reuben Foster thing. But to me, the John Beck thing is what stands out with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, John Beck's your guy. Like, that's Kyle Shanahan's guy. It's odd to me that John Beck would not be working out with Mac Jones. Like, there's smoke screening and then there's really smoke screening, right? Like, you would never like that. That's an unnecessary level of smoke screening to me to be like, yeah, John, don't work with Mac, because we don't want anybody seeing you work with Mac. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the next level,
that part of it just doesn't really register with me. So, you know, we'll see. I'm fairly confident it's going to be Fields or Lance.
That is so. Chris Biederman, at Chris Biederman on Twitter. Find his work at the Sacramento Bee, Candlestick Chronicles. He is a Spider Graph aficionado. By the way, Chris, have you seen the Rondale Moore wide receiver from Purdue, Spider Graph?
I know a little bit about him. I haven't looked. I've been really frustrated with the lack of Spider Graphs because of the combine happening.
Yeah, that's rough.
I do need to look. What's your take on the Moore Spider Graph? I'll look it up right now.
Oh, just go look at it.
Okay.
In fact, I know that as soon as you see it, you're going to tweet it out after we're done here. So I'll just let you go by yourself and go absorb the greatness of the Rondale Moore Spider Graph.
Okay. Yeah. I'll look at it after we get off.
All right. Good stuff. Chris, appreciate the time, man. The two-part series here with Chris Biederman. I did not expect it to go this long, but it was a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on. And we'll have to get you on Candlestick Chronicles at some point after the draft, after all this madness is done, to break down the aftermath of it all.
I love it. Thanks again to Chris Biederman. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow, Winky Wednesday, with my guest, Nick Winkler. Get your questions into me at BD Peacock on Twitter. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.